Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Well, Liz Stephen is our next guest. She's an international legend in the cross-country ski world, having competed on the U.S. women's team for 12 years. She's a multiple-time Olympic competitor. She now finds herself answering the question, what's next? Well, for her, ultra running, nursing school, working at Park City Hospital. And she's working also to apply lessons learned by performing one of the most grueling sports on the planet. Now to real life. She discusses a 64-kilometer ultra run called the Twisted Fork that she finished last weekend. She ran that with my co-host here, Pete Stoughton. And that's sort of part of the story we'll hear later. We caught up with her yesterday to tape an interview between her ultra runs, shifts at Park City Hospital, and school. Liz Stephen, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's really great to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be back with you too.
Well, we talked to you probably 6 months ago or sometime in the middle of the winter when we were all thinking about skiing. And every time I think about cross-country skiing, of course, I think about the U.S. women's team, of which you were part for quite a long time before you retired. And the most amazing things that you all did, and even though it's summer, take us back through just a quick highlight of your career as an Olympian on that U.S. women's team.
That's a big question. Man, it was, I miss it every day, and I didn't think I was going to, but you always think that when you're in something, that it's, when it ends, it's going to be even better, and it's not. I don't think I'm not looking to top it anymore. Like, it's just where it's a closed chapter, you know, and I missed a lot, but I have another chapter that I'm working on. But I spent 12 years on the U.S. team, and racing in Europe, did a lot more travel than I do now. Lived in a lot more hotel rooms, and spent a lot more time with people that were not my family than I did with people that are my family. So I saw so much of the world, skied all over the place, and you know, raced a ton. And I think there were parts of me that was ready for the racing to be over. And I think I did a race with Pete this weekend, and I still have a competitive edge for sure. It's just, it's deep in there, which I like. I like that it's like buried. But yeah, I don't miss the racing. I miss the people. And I knew that was going to be the case. So
it's so interesting that you said it almost in the first sentence, you know, that question that we all have about those who experience great success, an Olympic career. I mean, that is just the ultimate of successes. For most of us, we can't even imagine what it would be like to be an Olympian. But you said it, like there will never be anything like that. And so now what do you do to move into that next place where you say, yeah, there's never going to be another Olympic career, but I'm going to do these next new things that are great. And I would imagine there's a lot of self-talk that comes along with that.
Yeah, there should probably be a little more at times, I think. I'd certainly rely on my friends and family to kind of keep me going through. It's tough when to throw everything you've done for so long and spend so much time getting as good as you can get at totally to the wind, and then trying something new. So there are certainly ups and downs. Sometimes it feels like there's all downs, and then there's sometimes it's like, this is easier than I thought it was going to be. So I think it's just the ride of life. And I had plenty of time on Saturday to think about it. I don't know how to put it, but I am really grateful that I have such amazing people in my life to kind of, because I would not be doing well if I was doing this transition on my own. I think like it's become very apparent how much I lean on my friends and my family for support and for like ideas and to kind of like hear me out and talk me through some things. And so I feel really grateful to have that kind of support behind me. And really grateful that I have the opportunities that I have here just in Park City to do kind of whatever I want with my life. And I'm not sure exactly what that is. And I think that that sometimes feels like a really big question. I don't think it's something even though I want to, I don't think it's something I can answer just all in one go. I think I'm going to try and I'm going to fail and I'm going to make the wrong decisions. And then I'm going to make the right ones hopefully someday. But I don't think I wanted to jump into something that I was like, I guess I was telling my boyfriend, Jeff, the other day that I think when you do something like skiing or when I did something like skiing, I knew right away I loved sport. Like I never questioned it. There were times where I was like, oh, is this really, I'm not really giving back to the world. And am I being selfish? Is it time to do something else? But I never questioned whether I really loved it. And I think that now I question a lot, like, I don't love school. I'm just going to go ahead and say I hate school. And I struggle with it. And I have a job in the Park City Hospital, and there's ups and downs. You know, it's a job. There's good things and there's bad things. And I am running myself a little ragged in terms of my timeline on the things I like to do and things I have to do. And so that feels hard at times because I'm more tired than I want to be. I never questioned whether I want to ski, but I'm questioning everything right now. Like I question, well, I don't love school. Maybe I shouldn't be in school. Well, that's not really fair, right? It's not. So it doesn't correlate that way. It's not like because I love skiing, I just need to find that again in something else. And I just don't think there is that. I think like other things are always going to have ups and downs. And skiing did in some ways, but it was just this love that kept me going for it. And I need to be okay, more okay with pushing through something further than I think I should and not just trusting like my heart in that like, oh, I should love this from the beginning. It's not really like that anymore. It doesn't seem like. So learning that new phase is up and down.
It's kind of like hearing from a superhero who's come to spend time on Earth with us. And in the superhero category, Liz. So now that you're on Earth with us and you're feeling all these pressures from different people, different aspects of your own life, you know, what makes me want to just do a whole series of interviews with you? You are so wonderful and you are so captivating and inspiring, but also real. And, you know, we have such an environment where things aren't sure. There's so much uncertainty. What do we have tomorrow? And are we going to go into orange? Are we going to go back into shelter in place? Or are we just going to open up the economy? And I think a lot of people, I know myself, my wife, my family, those I interact with, like there's this, you know, confusion about everything. And so I think myself and a lot of our audience would resonate with that. And that journey also is part of, you know, the mental health struggles for a lot of people in our communities. And part of what's so beautiful is we have these athletes in our community who are so strong and we think they're so strong, but we all as athletes go through these highs and lows, and then we have to balance family and work and so forth. And so thank you for sharing that with us. And a lot of that's also seen in our struggles in races and in adventures. And you had an adventure just this weekend. And let's put this as a disclaimer out to our audiences. I quit after 23 miles.
He was injured.
I got a coffee and showered. It was wonderful. But Liz was giggling and laughing and having a great race until she saw me, and then she dropped the hammer. Tell us a little bit about your adventure and tell us a little bit about this racing experience for you.
So Pete, first of all, everybody, Pete is one of my favorite running people to go running with because he has like a life experience and stories, and it's like I could just run with Pete and talk about things forever. And it's, I think finding a buddy that you could just want to go like hang in the mountains with, and this town is chock full of them, is really special. And it's, I feel really lucky to have quite a few people I like to do that with, but Pete is certainly among them. And so Pete decided, he actually is the one who convinced me to do this running race again this year. I was kind of like, I'm not really that. I think I'm going to take a year off from it. He's like, just do it. So he signed up and I signed up and we went right to do this 40 mile running race called the Twisted Fork that's in town here. Any runners out there that are thinking about doing an ultra, it's a fun one to do. It happens every June. It's hot, tends to be really hot, which didn't disappoint on Saturday. But I started out running with another running buddy of mine, Chris Antonori, and we just were running the course, because I think when it's 40 miles, you better start pretty conservative. At least I like to. And we just were running along and chatting and saw Pete, and he was limping along at that point. Both Chris and I are like, I don't know, man. It doesn't look very great right now for your leg. So Pete ended up going back and hanging and getting a coffee. It turns out that would have tasted really good. Thanks for bringing me one. But and I kept going with Chris, and then eventually just kept going solo. And I was, yeah, you said it pretty well, Pete. I was feeling pretty good until like maybe 28 miles in. And then I hit a wall that was pretty hard wall, but it's 40 miles and everybody hits a wall at some point, or I think. And it was starting to get gradually hotter and hotter, and I was getting less and less eager to eat and all things like that. And so by the time we got to the Jeremy Ranch aid station, which is like 8 miles from the finish, I was pretty cooked. But I could see the girl who was in first, like, leaving the aid station as I was coming in. And so I was, the competitive person in me kind of came out. It was a hard and really hot 8 miles, and I'm really glad it wasn't another quarter mile longer, because I was fading hard. I think they packed me with quite a bit of ice, didn't they, Pete, for a little while? It was pretty warm. I mean,
it's like we were building a snowman.
Yeah, it was a really fun race. It's always fun when it's that close. And because of COVID this year, we started in waves. And so it was every like 5 minutes they had a wave. But the race had started a little late. And so it wasn't like 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. It was like an unannounced amount of time. And he would just send it off. So I had no idea whether it was a minute that the wave was ahead of me or 10 or anything like that. So I was just running hard. And I remember thinking like 8 miles to go when I was really struggling, just being like, man, I wonder how close I need to actually get to her. Cause I was hurting so badly. And then I realized it actually doesn't matter how close I need to get. I just have to run as hard as I can, which I was already doing, and it will be what it will be. And I think that's what I'm trying to do a little better with my life. Like, instead of knowing the outcome, which is really safe and really awesome and nobody ever gets that, it's like you just have to go along and you just go as hard as you can for as long as you can, and you'll figure it out. And it will be what it is. And so that's what I'm taking into my ultras now. If I do any more, I don't know. That was really hot. I need a little break for a while. But it's always fun to do a race in town and have these. I think there was a comment on a text string that I was on that was like, thanks all. I think I want to live at an aid station because you have people, everybody's wearing masks, everybody's friendly, and everybody's giving you positive advice. I was like, yeah, that was a really highlight of my race too, the aid stations where people are just cheering you on, being safe with their masks and having a blast. It was like a little touch of beauty out there.
Well, Liz, I think it's interesting. As you've been talking, I've been thinking about this metaphor between sort of what you found with the sporting world and what you're looking for now in the rest of your life. And it's sort of the same for any athlete or actually any person who finds things that they love to do. And they say, this is so easy to do this thing, but how do I transfer, you know, the, when the going gets tough doing this thing I love, to the rest of my life when the going gets tough on these things that I'm not so sure that I love to do? I think that part of the answer is somewhere in there of finding that glimpse of satisfaction that we get, even if we're in nursing school, say, and we're not sure we really want to be a nurse, but there is that really great lab that we took. How is that coming along, that metaphor of how you apply it to life? Because I think it's the same for everyone. We just, not all of us have been in the same place that you have been.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think there are some days that it's coming along better than other days. I think that COVID and this like time period we're in has made everything really quite challenging at times. I feel for the first time in my life, like I deeply miss my parents, and it's like, and my brother. And it's weird because I was a kid who went off to boarding school at 12 and never looked back. And I missed him at times, but it was like, I'd just catch up with him on the phone and I'd see him when I see him. And now I like actively miss them every day. And I don't see a way of going to see them. And I think that that is that's hard. And maybe it is just the fact that you like can't see those people, or you can't hug your friends, or you can't, like, it's like there's a very distant relationship with everybody you know, and yet you also are like reaching for more of it, and you just, it's, you can't get it, you know? I think if there was an end in sight, and maybe everybody feels this way, but I think if there was an obvious end in sight, it's easier to focus on the here and now. But because there's not an end, it's like it becomes even more important to focus on what's right in front of you, but it's harder because you don't know how long you have to do that, you know, without getting that little break that you need. That's like maybe a week with your family, or like a hug from a friend who is at risk so you can't hug them, or things like that. I think this is a weird time right now. And so it's challenging. It's really challenging. I feel lonely, you know, more than, and I have people everywhere. I am never alone anymore, except for like, even, yeah, it's like, I'm never alone and yet I'm lonely. And it's, and I think it has a lot to do with just that like personal connection with people, you know, that you get from extra time with friends or with family or that hug or whatever it is. All that stuff comes from the same house now, you know, that same like family feel, which is so important, but also not, I think as humans, we want to feel connections in a lot of places, not just in one place. And I think I'm like I rely on other people, you know, I want to feel like I want to go for a run with people, and instead of like elbow tapping them, give them a big hug, see how they're doing, look them in the face, you know, and all day at work, I'm in a mask with glasses and a hat. And I don't even see my patients really, you know, it's like, it's just this disconnect that is like, it's like there's a wall, even though you can see through it. And that's probably different for everyone. Maybe people that don't like hugs are like, this is the best thing ever. I hope COVID lasts forever. But for me, I'm like, I miss those like personal hugs and connections that you get with your friends when you see them, or even just with your patients as you check them in, you know, but it feels very distant right now. And so I think that's part of the loneliness that you feel at times, for sure.
You sounds like you're an extrovert, and a lot of people who relate to that are missing hugs. And, you know, there's not as many aid stations in life right now where people can get hugs and food, because we are keeping each other distant, which is ironic because a lot of your sport and a lot of endurance sports are so isolating. They're so like, I'm by myself running miles 30, well, one through 40. And there's not the same camaraderie dependence as like football or soccer. Is that true or not true?
I think that's probably true. I think I'm probably used to that. Doing it on your own kind of thing, like pushing through the pain cave on your own. And I'm used to that for sure. I think now, actually, I wish, I like running ultras, but I like it better when I'm with people. I wish I could just, yeah, have people with me, you know, like, come on, let's go, you know? And I think if I ever do 100, I would want a pacer solely, not because I don't think I could do the pain and the soloness. Like, I can do it. Anybody can do that soloness, but it's more fun with other people. And it's more like rewarding because you have a group of people going to do something with you or for you that is like more, I don't know, it's more special. I did the rim to rim to rim with a really good friend of mine and a couple others. She like made this team basically of people that did one side to the other side or both sides. And that was one of the cooler experiences of my life. And it was because this was completely her dream. And she put these people around her that she wanted to have in her dream with her. And we just went running and we walked and we swam in the river naked. And we just like, we just did things and lived it. And it was all for her. And that's, I mean, I love that idea. I want my friends to come up with ideas and just like want me a part of it, because the time I paced Chris in Leadville, the same feeling. And the time I connect with like my kids that I coach, that is the highlight of my life, like seeing those kids light up and seeing them get something or feel more confident because they've like done something they didn't think they could do. And seeing them together and interacting together and helping each other out, like that is better than anything I can think of anymore. You know, and it's the dream is not for myself anymore at all. More special to be a part of it with other people. Even if it's somebody else's dream, like that's more special than if I come up with it myself.
For those of our listeners who don't know what Rim to Rim to Rim is,
oh, yeah.
The Grand
Sorry.
And you're starting where, and then you go down to where, and then you go back up to where, and tell us, and then how long does this take place?
My friend came up with this idea. It's from the south rim of the Grand Canyon to the north rim and back. So you go all the way down to the river, Colorado, and then across, and then up the other side, and then you get to the other side, and you change your clothes, and you change your shoes, and you eat some stuff, and then you go back. And it takes a whole day. I think it took us like, I honestly don't even remember. It was around 15 hours, I want to say.
And how much vertical?
There's a lot. It's like
a lot.
30,000.
No, it just goes.
10,000. I think it's like under 10,000 feet of vert.
But no, Pete, is it?
Maybe, yes.
Okay, we listen to Pete. He would know these kind of details. I just know it was a lot of down, and I remember standing. I'd never even been to the Grand Canyon, so it was a very cool way to see it. But I remember going. I showed up like in the evening, the day before we were going to run it, and I just drove out to the rim and walked over, thinking like, I'll just get a glimpse of the Colorado before we head down, like at 4 in the morning tomorrow. No, there's no glimpsing the Colorado. You cannot see that thing. It is so far down there. It's like, I was like, what? I mean, it's as far down as you can see and you're still not at the river. I mean, I was just, I had no concept of this kind of enormity. That's the word I'm looking for. I mean, it was so mind blowing. And so when we finally got to the river in the morning, it was dark. We got to the river like when it was light, getting light. And it was just like, oh my God, it's so beautiful and so fun to start running at night. Like, I love running at night. I love it. And so to have it come up and just oh my God, and to be in that place with people that were really important to me and just the conversations you have and the like kind of pain caves you go through and the silence you experience and I mean, it just like the place, it makes you feel teeny. That place makes you feel teeny. And I know people say that, but I had no idea how teeny. It was just huge. So that was a really cool, cool experience. I would do that again, like today, if somebody wanted to go. It was one of the coolest things in my life, for sure.
Liz, we could talk to you forever, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, God.
Did you have any last question for Liz?
You mentioned maybe, you know, needing some more people to hang out with. You're probably going to get a lot of phone calls or emails after people hear this interview. You know, I'm here for a run or a bike ride or just a walk or a coffee. You are still coaching, correct, for the Park City Nordic team?
I am.
You have a bunch of little girls and other kids that you are working with and inspiring for the future, right?
Yes, I love that. Yep.
So if you want your kids to hang out with Liz to learn how to be as amazing as she is and be as tough as she is, then definitely send them their way.
Yeah, definitely. Cross-country skiing, even if you just do the summer program, it's like we take the kids biking and running and sometimes swimming and on camping trips when COVID isn't a thing. And it's like we teach them how to roller ski if they want. They can do drop-ins. So it's a really cool thing. So if you have questions, Emma Gerard is the director. Give her a call, or you can go to Park City Ski and Snowboard. Their website has info for all that stuff. But you don't have to have ever cross country skied before. So just get out there and we'll teach you how. It's really fun.
Thanks, Liz. And what an inspiration you are to all of us, to the young boys and girls in our community. And what a great opportunity for our kids and our community to hang out with an amazing Olympian and an amazing woman. So thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Lynn. I really appreciate being on here, and always fun to talk with you too.
That was Liz Stephen.